Living Seed Media brings to you God's Word, which is His comprehensive equipment for changing lives. May the Lord impact your heart as you encounter His Word. For further inquiry or counsel, contact Peace House, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Telephone number 0703-036-3659, 0703-768-1198. Email address lsmedia@livingseed.org or visit our website at www.livingseed.org. Let us sit back and listen as the servant of God brings forth the word of life.
We're asking, Father, that we will grasp what you want to show us. I pray, Lord, for help. I pray, Lord, for your divine support. We're asking that Jesus will reveal himself to us and help us this moment in the name of Jesus. We have no power of our own. We confess to you, Holy Spirit, come around and help us.
Amen.
Come around and assist us.
Amen.
Guide us into all truth.
Amen.
Open our eyes that we may behold you in your purpose and in your eternal counsel.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
In Jesus Christ's name we pray.
Amen.
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 Now, I want you to look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 15. 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Are you there? Okay. There's no time for us to read all the verses that would have wanted you to read. But you can take time to study it at your spare time. But I want you to see something quickly from verse 45, verse 46, verse 47, and verse 48 up to 49, up to 50. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Please take note of that. That was not said, which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, so are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, so are they also that are heavenly. And as we are born the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. May God help us in Jesus' name. Now the point I want you to note is this, and it's a very small point, but you need to get it clear. And I will follow that from this point and see what I'm talking about, so that we can build up as the Lord will enable us now. The Bible says, verse 46, that was not said which is spiritual, but that which is what? Natural. And afterwards, that which is spiritual. Now, what is the meaning of that? The fact is that when we're talking of self, I'd like you to please understand that for every man, for every one of us, self, Mr. Flesh, is older than our spiritual experience. Did you hear me? When we're talking of self, most probably is more advanced, is more developed in every one of us than our spiritual life. It was not the spiritual that came first. It was the natural. Every one of us that is born of a woman Even if your father was a pastor and speaking in tongues when they were delivering you, when you were born in the flesh. So just imagine what I'm talking about now. All the children you see here now, right from age zero, they were born to serve Mr. Flesh. And that is why you see even babies, the first lesson they learn is to live for the flesh. Are you understanding what I'm saying now? It was not the spiritual that started first in any of us. It was the flesh. It was the natural. Now, there's a need for you to understand what we are talking, because it is then you will understand how God must help us to undo the work of the flesh. The flesh is not a novice when we are talking of your spiritual life. The flesh is a senior when we are talking of your spiritual experience. Imagine a small baby of 2 or 3 years old. Once it is on Sunday, like this, give that boy a chance. He will go right into his clothes, portmanteau. What will that boy bring out? He will bring the best of clothes and say, "Mommy, I'm wearing this." And his mommy says, no, you can't wear that. Wear this. He said, "No, I'm not going to church again." Who is talking there? Mr. Pastor. And look at what I'm talking about. If this boy has one of these beautiful clothes, if you say, "Let me carry you," what will the boy do? He will say, "No, I will walk." Why does he want to walk? To show. You understand what I'm saying? So when we're talking about show, when we talk of exhibition, it did not start today. It started from when you were very, very young. It was not the spiritual that started first. It was the natural. When you went to school, let me remind you please, the whole principle of the world system was organized and supervised by self. The whole concept of competition, the whole concept of rivalry, the whole concept of placement, this one is better than that one, is all the idea of Mr. Flesh. You are not understanding me. Imagine that right as I'm talking here, to be an engineer is regarded as much more important and glorious than to be a classroom teacher. You are not getting me. So, all those people that could not be engineers and they have to be teachers, how did they accept it? They accepted it as reluctantly. Give them an opportunity, they will fly out of that place. Hallelujah. What is the big deal that you see everybody putting titles behind their names? Yes. Is this man? He doesn't want to appear as an ordinary person and you talk to him as ordinary person, you say, "Mr. Jesus," you say, no, please, address me properly. I am I am engineer D. But you see, even building engineers, they don't want to become Mr. What do they call them say now? Builders. You see, so when we are talking of the flesh, do not undermine the flesh. Do not undermine the flesh. The flesh is by all means older than your spiritual life. Imagine somebody that has grown up for 20, 30 years under the supervision of the flesh, who dresses every day to please himself. about himself. Now, the Lord Jesus says, sorry, you cannot be my disciple except you do what? You disown, renounce, forget, overlook, lose sight of, give up the right to yourself. Do you understand what I'm saying right now? The whole concept, the whole world system as I'm talking, it is a combined effort of the flesh. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So that teacher says, albeit it was not the spiritual that came first, but it was the natural. That will help you to get what I'm talking about now. So when Jesus confronted Nicodemus, he was the issue of the flesh. Nicodemus fasted before. Nicodemus prayed more than any of us could even pray. He prayed 3 hours a day. Nicodemus read the old Bible from Genesis to Malachi. Nicodemus was not just an ordinary Pharisee. He understands when God is working. He could even acknowledge when he sees the work of God going on, he said, we know the man of God. But Jesus looked at him and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, sir, the question is not what you are doing or what you are not doing. The question is, of what species are you? For that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Whatever originated from the flesh is flesh, and it cannot please God. So you have to be born again. I do know that when we talk about being born again, we handled it so lightly that we did not allow being born again to have the full effect in our life. That's why it looks as if born again is an experience. Deliver from self is another experience. No, it ought not to be. But nobody taught us. People think that being born again just means coming to raise up your hand and say, I receive Jesus, and you go back home living for self. No. That is why you see Jesus stating this fact, and then some of you say, if it is like that, what the heck can I say I'm born again? I don't know whether you're understanding that now. Because when you understand what it means to be born again, it means a termination of self. So that a new life can start from the crash. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, is what? A new creature. A new species. A new life entirely. All things are passed away. Behold, all things. Well, you see, we've not understood the implication of this statement. I wish it would be possible for us to study such. It's not eye-sounding theology. Very simple. But because you will not study the Bible, and let's sit down and say, what do you mean really? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The passage that preceded 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, which we are all familiar with, if anyone is in Christ. If you look at it from verse 14, then you will understand that that verse was dealing with the termination of self. But you see, something must have gone wrong amidst us over years. That we pick all those scriptures and we just apply it as a relief measure, and we didn't press it down complete. If you read that scripture very well, verse 14 started by saying, the law of God constrains us, in that we don't just that if one man died for all, then all were dead. And in that he died for all, it is that those of us that are now living should henceforth no longer live for self, but for him who died and for our sake rose again. That henceforth we evaluate no man according to what he looks like on the outside or according to what the world says about him. Even before we thought Jesus Christ was a mere human being, like I said, but I do so no longer. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. That's where that scripture came. Hallelujah. You see, the more you study scriptures, the more you are going to be awoken to the fact of balancing your theology. Somebody came and said, "Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "All that you have, take up your cross and follow me." And then, he heard some other person say, "Except the crown of wheat falls to the ground and dies, whosoever tries to save his life will do what? Lose." It means that as far as the word of God is concerned, to really be a partaker of the new life, there's nothing left than what? The death of the old life. Hallelujah. And I am not afraid to remind you or to say to you again this month that if you didn't start well, don't be afraid to start again. Hallelujah. If somebody gave you a false assurance that it is well with your soul, but you find that it is not biblical, don't be afraid to start afresh. Praise the Lord. If anybody tells you that, "Oh, you are already settled, you are living well, and it is self that is governing your life," don't be afraid. As far as I'm concerned, whether people say you are being born again afresh, or you are receiving Jesus Christ anew, that's not the business. All those things are theological jargon. That's not important. Some people will call that something sham. Another one will call it something sham. Something G. You know? Oh, brother, don't let people confuse you with high-sounding language. Even if you say you are born again, are you hearing me? But sin is governing your life. I query your spirit. I query. Don't ask me theological questions. Ask practical questions. Some people say, "Brother, then we were born again. What is the essence of being born again if you will not go to heaven?" Are you understanding what I'm talking about? What is the essence of saying, "Look, I am a believer, and you are a believer that will not go to heaven"? For me, I think, learn to start it afresh. If you think it is not working well. So you see, the word of God says, for every one of us, it was not the spiritual that kept it. I hope you understand what I'm saying. So when God is saying, "Let him deny himself," he is saying that what you have built up together for the first 30 years of your life, be ready to do what? Dismantle it. That was why that man went away. Because the Bible said, he went up and I said, "Dismantle all." Do you understand what you are talking about? All I have been putting together since my youth, for the past 35 years, I should finish it and come and start afresh, take my cross and start following you and become an apprentice. You don't understand the meaning of the conflict that man went through. And I know, brethren, I know something has gone wrong with us, with our generation. The way people rush out to say they are receiving Jesus, he shows that they don't understand the implication. The way everybody says, I'm a believer. Thoughtless decision. Decisions that will never take thought of what it costs. We didn't think of the implications of what we are talking about. So you need several things to happen today on a very, very lighter level, superficial level, because we are not understanding the implication. When you understand the implication, then you will be sitting down to make a decision. Then the new conviction of the Holy Spirit will dawn on you. If you understand that when we are saying, let him deny himself, we are saying, all that you used to be, all that you are known for, all that became your custom and art, all that became your glory and your identity, for the past 40 years, for the past 50 years, dissociate yourself from it and learn of me. Take my yoke upon you and do what? And learn of me. You know the reason why some of us can't go back to school? You don't know the reason. Eh? Number one, you say, I am too old to go back to school. Whatever I didn't get, let me manage them. That's why we can't go back. Jesus said, at old age, come and learn of me. May God help you to see what I'm saying. In the name of Jesus. Now, something more about the flesh, so that you will know how to handle it. Because some of us, we may think that it is possible for the flesh and the spiritual to go side by side. As you can see from believers, they are saying, brother, we understand all that you have said, and we praise God for that. Please talk to us about the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, if it's possible for you to finish this seminar, and say, thank God, but I believe it's especially on staff. Now, let me move on to the people that are in charge of spiritual gifts. And you carry your cup again and say, thank God for that one they taught us last week. Yes, let's learn about the gift, the manifestation of the Spirit. Thinking that you can do like that and keep going, you are deceiving yourself. The reason why some of us, we are not settling down to face issues as their priorities in our life, is because there is a deception, a quiet deception, that we can make it, that there is a way to combine the two and keep going. But let me inform you very well that Mr. Fett, because of his nature, he does not accept to be combined with another thing. You didn't get me? Mr. Fett, as of his own nature, is a greedy man. If he is in a place, he must seek preeminence. You can't say, excuse me, Mr. Fett, you know, we have to share my life. I am not driving you out completely, but I want you to cool down. I want you to know that I have a new life now. I want you to know that Jesus is in me now. So first, let me give you a Bible. I have been with you for so long, so you are going to take this portion. But this portion, I am carrying it out a new man, Jesus. That cannot agree with that. Even if Jesus were to agree. Hallelujah. They cannot. So Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. Not possible. Self didn't even allow. Self is waiting. Every opportunity he wants to grab it. You have a little chance in your life. He knows that whatever you are doing anywhere else, singing, praying, preaching or anything, he will take it. He will take it. Praise the Lord. Just imagine, look at the life of a successful preacher. He has not been delivered from sex. Do you think that, do you know what makes her excited? Quietly inside her heart, he said, that's my husband. Who is talking here? Say, that's my husband, you know. Even when there's no need to come close, she must come around and say, oh, do you need cold water? Take it. No, it's not cold water. Do you know who wanted to show? Mr. Kay. That in case these days don't know that it's my man. She would just come in and say, oh, okay, don't worry. Please take water, good and die. Hallelujah. Yes! He will take advantage even of good things. That is what Brother Paul discovered in Romans 7 says, even the good things that I do, I see someone inside of me that is doing what? Taking an advantage of me. Yes, it's a greedy man that he will not stay within his dungeon. He's untamable. And you only need to leave one small room for start in your life, he will take over. It may be anger, very small anger, you live in your life. I can't go for every other area. It's only that I don't like people to take me for granted. Who is talking there? So imagine a beautiful brother who has been serving God, prophesying and praying and rejoicing and all that. Then we come for executive meeting. A church executive meeting or something, and as we were talking, he's such a beautiful man. Are you understanding? When he's prophesying, when he's ministering, when he's preaching, everything is perfect. But there is that little room of anger. Yes, God is in charge. So as we are talking in this executive meeting, sex is tough. So do you see what I say? Suddenly, his eyes turn red and he loses his temper. All that he has done, that all of you are praising God for, in 1 minute, what is going to happen? Sex will destroy it. And everybody, so this pastor is a liar. I've never met him being angry. But today, I'm afraid to be careful. When he's laughing with you, he can be very jovial. But be careful. Be careful. Be careful. If it comes from him, if what comes from him, yes. Sometimes, he doesn't worry, he can stay. But he knows that he is in charge. There's only one solution. Now, what have I said about that? Two important things. He is a senior brother. I hope you understand me now. So, Galatians chapter 4. Are you there with us? Quickly? Please, do quick. I'm running for time now. Look at verse 28, 29, up to 30. Who is reading?
Now we brethren.
Now we brethren, yes.
As it was, and his train of thought. But as then he that was born out of the flesh.
God. Who was born out of the flesh? So what did he do to him that was born after the Spirit? Do you understand that now? You are not getting the scripture. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And what is his business to that which is born of the Spirit? Is to persecute. If you need the flesh to keep growing time by time with that which is born of the Spirit in your life, you are ready for internal persecution. Persecution inside your house. Did I finish it?
Nevertheless, what read the scripture?
What read the scripture?
Cast out the bound woman.
Cast out!
The bound woman.
Cast out! The bound woman and her son. As far as God is concerned, that's the only solution. And just imagine how the flesh does. As soon as your spirit is shooting at the cottage, boom! And then you start praying again and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, help me. Oh, why won't you? Oh, what is this? Oh, what is this? And then the flesh may keep quiet for a while. And allow the spirit to start growing again. Start growing again. As soon as your spirit is becoming prominent, what does it do again? That is why to pretend that it's okay. It's not okay. It's need for us to deal with this issue and pray until God will handle it for us in Jesus' name. Yeah. I have just talked about Isaac and Ishmael. And I said, which one is the senior brother? It's Ishmael. What did Esau do to Jacob? What did Esau do to Jacob? He sought to kill him. The biggest enemy that the children of Israel had on their road to the land of promise was the Edomites. And the Edomites are the descendants of Esau. Brother, your biggest opposition is not the Moabites. It's not even the Amalekites. Is the Edomites. And you know what? It is like the spirit. Normally, anytime he comes to display the flesh. I pray you understand. Why is the battle between the flesh and spirit so serious? It is because they are closest rivals. And they are not getting it. Mr. Flesh has been living in somebody's life for 30 years. Suddenly, he went for a message. And he heard the word of God. And he came back home and said, from today, I have decided to follow Jesus. Mr. Flesh, and so what? And he said, well, the implication of my decision is that I am married to Jesus. Mr. Flesh, leave me alone. But so what do you mean? You mean that I will not use you again? You mean you will not dress for me again? You mean you will not talk for me again? He said, yes, I am married to Jesus. Flesh, leave me alone. But so what do you mean? You mean that my ambition for you, you will no longer pursue it, is actually. I live for Jesus. Day after day, I live for Jesus. Let's say what day, the Holy Spirit, I will obey. Let's say, after 30 years that I have been training you to live for me, to talk for me, to pray for me, to go for me, to show and exhibit for me. You are not saying that you live for Jesus, Holy Spirit, you will obey me. That's why the battle. The Holy Spirit, when he comes into the life of a man, he comes to uproot the flesh.
That is why the battle is fought. Why do you think Ishmael is struggling to kill Isaac? As soon as Isaac was born, the whole family gathered together and said, "This is the heir." Ishmael said, "Me, I have been here for 13 years. They said, Sorry, you are not the heir. Actually, your destination is outside. You will be cast out. So if you come and cast out, I will deal with this." May God help us in Jesus' name. Let me declare to you, brothers, that the flesh is the senior brother in every case. In the family of Jacob, what did the senior brother say concerning Joseph? "Let us kill him and see what will become of the Jews." That the children that was born after the flesh, particularly that which was born after the spirit, so it is. When? Now. Christian life is such a radical issue that the flesh cannot stand it. You know what the flesh does? It likes to beg. I tell the truth, is not to talk about this. Hallelujah. Do you know why we are having one man churches nowadays? You don't know. It's Mr. Church. How can I be preaching? I'll be preaching and helping that man to build up. And they won't talk about me. I will start my own. It's a flesh. You can imagine my ministry. Who is talking that? With a flesh. He's the senior brother in every case. They gather to strangulate Joseph so that his dream will never come to pass. That is the language of the flesh. Leave him alone, he will deal with you. And I'm talking, whether you believe or you don't believe, we will see. You leave the flesh alone to continue to feed on your life, he will kill you and throw you to hell. I said something yesterday. I said, I do not envy any man in whom the flesh is the driver. Whatever you do today, no matter how flamboyant, flesh will jump off tomorrow and do what? Kill it. Give Mr. Flesh one room out of 10 rooms in your life. You may not even worry. Say, go on. I know what I'll do. The day you will stand up, you will take everything. He knows what he does. So what is the solution? Cast out the son of the born woman. For he shall not be heir with my son. May God help us in the name of Jesus. In every case, I wish I can continue to tabulate it. When David was shooting up, who was chasing him around? Take note, though. He said, it is not that which was spiritual that came first. Even inside the family of David, who are the first people that we have to contend with? the senior brother. As soon as he came, what did they say? What are you doing here? You are too forward. Get back. What did you do to me? No, get away. Be careful. If God gives you understanding about this message, and you agree with us to pray, I say, Holy Spirit, don't let me miss what you are talking about. Let me go back. I wish you would suspend every matter. And look, when I say suspend every matter, if I feel you are doing anything else, I don't know the progress any man makes when he has not done with that. Don't ever think that anything you are doing is of any blessing to anybody when you are flesh to sitting on the throne of your life. Nothing. There's no consequence. But whom we thank and insist on this matter for the brethren to understand that let's go nowhere until we deal with this issue. Amen. So because the flesh is such an untenable fellow, is an incontractable fellow, you cannot contain him. He cannot submit himself to duty. The Bible says, indeed, he cannot. The flesh cannot go inhabit a place and decide to start. He wants to take over. If you are singing very well, if you have a beautiful song, all the sisters that have good songs and good voices, if they were to tell you the story, each time they render a special number, and it is good, and everybody seems to enjoy, something will come quietly and whisper right inside and say, that is for me. You don't know, sir. Somebody that is just walking naturally when he thinks nobody is watching him. As soon as he's about to enter into the congregation, say quickly testing. People are looking at you. So he was walking freely before. Now who is doing that? Don't leave self a guy. He will take over. He will take over. People's language, people change it. As soon as self reminds them, there are educated people here. Don't disgrace yourself. Be careful the way you break English here. You don't understand. Hallelujah. If they invite you to go and give a talk to secondary school children, you know how freely you will go. Because you can easily maneuver those boys. They will not know that anything is wrong. But if they ask you that tomorrow at the chapel in the University of Ilorin, you're going to give a message, what will you do, brother? All night! You will organize everything, you will stay very well, you will iron your dress very well, and you will come in dignity. You are so unsure of self. Mr. Flesh, brother, there's no way we can finish it. He's such a varied fellow, and I understand why he's been around for quite a long time. All the time we took when we were in school, they were sponsored by the flesh, with the principles of the flesh. With the principles of the flesh. The competition, the entire competition that we grew up with, To develop self is for self-development. Are you understanding that now? It's for thorough confidence. You don't understand what I'm saying. When it is time for you to go on the athletic field, you see your coach, he will tell you, say, don't worry, stand up, stand up. You can make it. Are you understanding? All those people are nothing. You can make it. Move in there. I say, move in, do like this. We will cheer you up. So you see, in order for Mr. Flesh to be acclaimed, we give them some nicknames. So as soon as he's coming now, we say, Arako. They want to be flesh too. The flesh is done for the rest. Yes. Look, all those things. For all the years, we were training Mr. Flesh. You know the power of sinner. So when we come to church, you don't know that it is the same thing. This is when you're calling men of God of right now. And then God of you to turn up and give Jesus a very, 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 very serious clap of you. You know what you are doing? You are boosting the ego of the man. You are boosting his ego. You are boosting his ego. Is the same thing. The flesh. All the principles we learned since the beginning, they were to fall to flesh. So Jesus now came and they say no to self. Deny self. End your time and your relationship to Mr. Flesh. And you took it for granted. You do not know that what Jesus is calling for is a serious problem. It's a crisis. A very big spiritual crisis. And yet, if we don't finish with it, we are going nowhere. Why do we talk so much about a man? He's just that. Occasionally when we are preaching, because we transfer the word system. You know, when if you ever go on the field, why do we mobilize supporters for our team? Why do we mobilize supporters? What is it? We say we boost their morale. That's the next name for flesh. Personal morale. Confidence that does not come from God. You call it morale. Well, let me go ahead. So I want you to see something as we introduce ourselves to what is God's way of dealing with the flesh. What is the ministry of the cross in dealing with this matter? And what is my own responsibility about it? That's what we are introducing ourselves to now. I took all this time again to remind you that the issue we are dealing with is not something you can gloss over. What Jesus is asking you to do is like he said, what you used to be for the past 40 years, you will stop being it. When you understand what I'm saying, no, you see, when we talk about these things, some of us, because we don't know, we think it is somebody that is asking us to go and restitute. No. When you understand this thing very well, when you get home, all the dresses you made for Mr. Flesh, automatically you go into your wardrobe and you start saying, I can't wear this again. This is not correct again. Because Mr. Flesh, for whom I made this dress, I'm no longer marrying him. A radical act, brother, something will happen. When this truth done for you, you will understand what I'm saying. Then you will discover that there are some of the things you put around yourself just to promote self. And Jesus is saying, put that aside. Some we will change our wardrobe. It's not because I'm the one going to be telling you that don't dress like this, don't dress like this. The question will be, this dress you are wearing, is it to the glory of God or to the glory of self? Certainly, you will discover something. There will be wonderful dresses in your wardrobe, but you can't wear it again. And it's not because somebody preached. It's because you are facing the reality of denying self. Each time you want to come out, you hear self say, wear this. You know, this is a special time. You don't wear this. People will say you don't have anything. Now you're always wearing the same dress every time. Some people will think that now only one dress is change self. A man who has understood what we are talking about will stand up and say, I am married to Jesus, fleshly me alone. I am married to Jesus, fleshly me alone. My husband is coming to take me away to eternal. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. When you want to make heaven, you don't know flesh. Flesh! Sit down there and say, look, what style are we going to make this time? So now I no longer make my hair to please self. I only do it to glorify Jesus. All those one will change. You see, I'm not, you see, there are things to teach that will take care of peripheral issues. Take from what I say about peripheral issues. They are too small. Dressing is too small. It's not a matter. But when we deal with Mr. Flesh, you will take care of all those matters. Your taste, your outlook, everything which you have built for years, Jesus is saying it is going to end. The way I see you rushing, and I say, I belong to Jesus. And I say, has the gospel changed? The gospel that made them to stone Peter, to drag Peter on the ground, to drag Paul on the ground, and cause confusion everywhere. How is it happening that everybody has regarded it as a fashion? Maybe we didn't understand what they emphasized again. I see Jesus insisting that if I must be your Lord, I'm not going to share a partner with anybody. Mr. Shed must go. We have discovered something already in Galatians chapter 4. What was the solution? Cast out! That was the solution. But how do we carry out that solution is what we are dealing with now. Now, I want us to look at, before we come back to Galatians, I think you should please run. Let's go to Deuteronomy if we can quickly take a study. Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy. Please check chapter 21. I hope it is. Yes. Deuteronomy 21. Are you there? Okay. Let's carefully look at verse 18. Verse 19. 20. 21, 22, and 23. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they are chasing him, he will not hearken unto them. Are you understanding that picture? What will his father do? That someone has a stubborn and rebellious son.
He will not obey the voice of his father nor the voice of his mother. And that even when they are chasing him, he will not hearken unto that. There's nothing you do to correct it and it will change. You pamper it, you beat it, you imprison it, it remains forever stubborn and rebellious. What is the way to handle it? Then shall his father and his mother lay hold of him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of the city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of the city shall stone him with stones, that he die. So shall thou put evil away from among you. And if a man, verse 22, hath committed a sin worthy of death, and he be to be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God, that your land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. Why did I go to that analogy? It is because that exactly, please listen, it's just for us to introduce ourselves to the place, the ministry of the cross in dealing with the flesh, so that later on tonight we'll go on from there and pray. Now, he says, if a father and a son a mother have a son that is rebellious, they have corrected him, they are chastened him, they have disciplined him, but he will not okay. He will not listen, he will not hearken to their voice, he will not be corrected, he will not change. When he comes to that climax, the father and the mother, they are going to take a final decision. What is that final decision? They will come. They will now take him. The first thing is that they will lay hold on him because he's very slippery. Are you understanding that now? They will lay hold on him. One of the biggest problems many of us have in dealing with sin, we never lay hold of ourselves. All that we did since yesterday till this morning is to help you identify Mr. Flesh and lay hold of him. Until you study the Word of God very well, you will not know what Mr. Flesh is doing. So that anytime you say, let him deny himself, say, well, you see, let them deny themselves. Is the most slippery man I have ever met. Just when you think he will not be there, he will appear and spoil your job. So the first thing the parents were supposed to do, the owners of this boy, was to do what? Lay hold of him. Say, you this boy, we catch you today. A point, he may look penitent. May say, Mommy and Daddy, I will comply. I will cooperate. And that's what happens to many of us. Just when a time comes for you to hold the flesh and get it to the final point where God will finish it for you, he will suddenly submit. So for about 1 week, 2 weeks, no problem. No problem. So, because he has kept quiet, he did as if he had changed. So, unconsciously, you lose hold of him. You go about dancing. Say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, glory, hallelujah, praise the Lord. You've left him. He will quietly get back into normal activity.
only to discover that 2 weeks after, your problem started again.
Sometimes you go for a retreat, and as the men of God are hammering, you could see what is wrong. And any moment you want to deal with it very well, it will just comply. It's not a problem. I will change. Don't worry. Don't take me to the altar. Don't take me to the elder. Don't expose me. Don't hand me over yet. It's not as serious. It is still an internal problem. You will handle it. The biggest mistake many of us make is that we think we can handle Mr. Flesh. So many times I hear people say, I will correct myself. I will adjust myself. I will try to change. I will consider what you are saying. When I hear a man saying like that, I feel like crying for him because he does not know what he's talking. If you are able to change yourself, you will have changed yourself the past 10 years. You see, the issue I'm raising here is not to make another resolution. You can't make it. Imagine somebody that said, by God's grace, I will never be angry again. I will never say, anger is not finished. It don't finish. So that you don't drag Mr. Flesh to the altar. So everything will look good. Just before God will expose Mr. Flesh, everything will look settled so that we relax. When you know that you are no more as aggressive, it will start manifesting small. You say, what? He says, by mistake. Nobody's above mistake. He will do something again. What? I thought I am delivered. I thought I was sanctified. Oh, God. There were no problems. We just go small. After all, this thing was more serious than this. And it is reducing now. You better thank God. I'm even changing. That is the flesh. The reason why some of us have not been able to get victory over self is that we have never become radical. You see, as I talk like this, everybody is sober. Everybody says, said, now, wow. Hey! This old man, now, wow. Car. That will not solve the problem. You must do what? Lay hold of it. Don't let it go. Don't let it go. That time he will be begging you. Don't listen to his begging. Don't pity the flesh. Don't pity yourself. You want deliverance? Don't pity Mr. Flesh. The father and the mother will lay hold of him and say, now, we have tried our best. You have been a problem in this life, in this family, over the years since we born you. We have come to the conclusion that the only solution to this matter, it is not improvement. It is not a reconstruction. Neither is it a new schooling. The solution to this matter is death. And I pray you will understand that God's solution to self-problem is what? Is death. I'll be telling you why Jesus had to die. The reason is because, you see, the blood of Jesus is very powerful. Amen? Amen? But you know what the blood of Jesus does? It can only cleanse from sin. All the iniquities and sins that we have committed, that's what the blood washes. But the blood has no power in dealing with Mr. Flesh, who produces sin. Are you understanding what I'm saying now? As long as you plead the blood will wash sins that have been produced.
by Mr. Flesh. But next week again, the owner, the producer, will produce again. I want you to listen. There is no way things can be washed except with the blood. Are you understanding me now? But the blood does not do more than that, as far as the problem of sin is concerned. The only thing is to get rid of Mr. Iniquity, Mr. Sin. So when a person is coming to Jesus, two things happen. And I know you are familiar with it. It's only that you don't see it in this way. Ezekiel 36 says, in verse 25, I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and I will cleanse you from all your filthiness. That's what the blood does. But God didn't stop there. Verse 26, he says, a new heart will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. I will take away from you what? The heart of stone. The thing that produces filthiness, I will take it out. When God has not taken it out, we will be forever confessing sin and going for cleansing. And because we didn't see the ministry of the cross, many of us, our messages end at that level. Many of us will conclude and say, look, all we must do every day is to confess our sins. He is faithful and just to wash us. That's all we talk about. We never progress to discover that whosoever is born of God does not continue to sin. Because a new nature, a new producer is in him. Something already settles us down at a you know, it's good, but it's not complete. All that most of us know, we know the ministry of the blood to cleanse. But we have not proceeded with Jesus Christ. You did not know that Jesus did not only shed his blood, he went ahead on the cross. Why did he go on the cross? You will see now. So the father and the mother, they lay hold. Of course, Mr. Flesh will struggle. How does he struggle? He say, I'm not too bad. I'm not alone. And look at everybody. Can anybody say he's not under flesh? There's nobody who is perfect. We are all under this thing. And why are you being too serious? If this thing that that brother is talking about, if it is true, it means nobody will go to heaven because everybody is under self. Don't take this thing too serious. I'm not too bad. That's Mr. Flesh struggling to lose his hand from your hand. He would like to divert your attention. If you know the flesh, he would like to point you to the devil so that you can leave him alone. So nowadays I hear people, the work that the flesh does, they say that the work of spirit. You know what the Bible says? Say the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, indecent action. It's not a spirit, it's the work of the flesh. But when nowadays I go into fellowship, I go into meetings, I hear pastors say the spirit of fornication. Where did you find it in the Bible? I see people say, you need that, we want to deliver you now. Holy Alabastandoro, you the spirit of love, you the spirit of fornication. We got you out. You are wasting your time. Why do you do what is not in the Bible? Something you cannot. Jesus never did it. So the works of the flesh are manifest. Anger is the work of the flesh. It's not a spirit. The spirit of anger is the work of the flesh. Let me not deceive you. Anybody who is angry and anybody who is fornicating, they are in the same class. They are apprentices of Mr. Flesh. No difference. Hatred and jealousy or drunkenness, they are the works of Mr. Flesh. No difference. Don't spiritualize the flesh. It is one of his strategies to divert your attention from laying hold of him. Don't be lazy in holding him. The beginning of your deliverance is when you are able to hold him. When somebody provokes you to jealousy, let me tell you, the person to hold is not the person who is provoking you. Who is the person to hold? Yourself. May I inform you? Sister, did you give us pandemonium today? Eh? No. So is it possible for anybody in this congregation to say, today, Brother Gule, we are going to provoke out of your stomach pandemonium? Eh? Is it possible? Why not? It's not there. If I vomit now, I cannot vomit pandemonium because it's not there. When you vomit anger, when you vomit jealousy, when you vomit pride, let me tell you, there could be an external provocation, but the truth is that the man is where? If you are going on the road, and somebody says you are foolish, a hot man like you are foolish, and you remove your dress, so I'm going to show you that I'm not foolish. Let me tell you. Rather than hold the man who abused you, you better hold yourself. It shows that the producer of quarreling and fighting is inside. But when you have gotten rid of that thing, say you are a foolish man, you are confused, you are nothing. The only thing that can come out of you is what is inside. The new life. The Lord Jesus. And then you smile and say, oh, brother, sorry, don't worry. He is no more here. He said, what manner of man is this? I even abused him and he did not get annoyed. It's because he's a new creation man. Lay hold on yourself. That is the first step unto deliverance. As long as we are going to be diverted from the real thing, if I'm driving on the road, as I'm going, another driver, what are you driving? Who gave you your license? If the old man that can respond to that kind of thing, it is not there. The only thing that comes is the love of Jesus. The Father forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. And you keep going. That's what I'm talking about. Don't seek a small deliverance. Get to the monk and ask the Lord to help you out in Jesus' name. They hold him. So they were dragging him. Where are they dragging him to now? To the edges of the city. And that's what I'm saying to you today. When you lay hold of your self-life, drag it to the elder. Who is our elder? The Lord Jesus. He knows how to deal with it. Drag him! And then when you get there, you make a confession. This our son. And I thank God for that statement. It's our son. It's my problem. It's my son. Anybody who is not able to face the fact that this thing we are talking about is yourself, you are not ready for deliverance. People come to pray. Instead of telling the real story, they start speaking in tongues. You don't speak in tongues to deal with self. Tell the story. If God is going to give us victory and launch us into what he's talking about, his principles are not grievous. To meet them and say, Lord, this is my son, is rebellious, is stubborn, is untamable. I have prayed, I have fasted. And all of you that are listening to me, you know that fasting can't deal with self.
No, it can't.
Some people have sustained their life on fasting. There's no help there. There's only one thing that finishes. Cast him out. So you see, when Jesus said, let him deny, you can understand the meaning of that word now. Let him renounce. Let him give up. Let him forsake. Let him release. Bring him out. This my son is rebellious. This my son is stubborn. There's nothing I did not do to correct him. I have gone from conference to conference, from messages to messages. I've gone from deliverance to deliverance, but this, my son, is a stubborn one. We have concluded that the only solution is to hand him over. And he must not follow us back home. We have lost sight of him. Before we left home, we have already written out his name from our family diary. Now, at that point, imagine what he will be saying. My father, my mother, I will change. I'm not as bad. I will change. Please take me back home. Say, no. We have brought you out here. I'm not taking you back again. Your own is finished. And you hand him over to the elder. Hallelujah. Now, wait. When you hand him over to the elder, and all I'm saying today, if you don't understand this message, you think they are asking you to go and struggle. Some people do not know that the message that delivers a man from sin is a message of absolute faith and trust in the work that Jesus can do, not by struggle. If I was to stand here and say, okay, sister, so that you will not fornicate again, don't grieve brothers in a lie. Don't shake a brother, you are telling a lie. It's not rules and regulations. Hand him over to the elder. You know what the elders will do? Look at the Bible. Let's go back and read. Praise the Lord. Sorry, we have to go on like this so that you can understand. Now, the Bible says, and all the men of his city shall stone him with stones. They will denounce him. They will denounce him. They will stone him and stone him and stone him and stone him. But you see, there is a way to finish him. And that is verse 22. If a man has committed a sin worthy of death, and Mr. Flesh is worthy of death. Is that true? And he is to be put to death. What do you do to him now? You hang him on a tree. That's where the cross comes. That is the place and the ministry of the cross. The cross is that instrumentality devised by God to finish my old man. So, brother, are you tired?
No, no, no.
Please wait here. Now, praise the Lord. Now, let's quickly see something quickly with the scripture before we stop. I said we'll stop here. Because when we now come in the night, we'll be dealing with the practical application of the cross on a day-to-day basis. But
we need to see what the cross meant in our deliverance. The Bible said, let's turn our Bibles quickly. Isaiah 53, you are familiar with it, but I point something out, then we run. We don't have time to stay. Isaiah 53. May the Lord help us in the name of Jesus. I want you to look at verse 4. I want all of you to please carefully check scriptures. Don't rush. These are very critical points where Holy Ghost must open our eyes. We have not yet reached a point where you can go home. If you go home at this point, the devil will cheat us. I want you to bear a little more so that we can see what God is saying. Amen? The Bible says, but that man, he was wounded for our transgressions. Who was wounded? For our transgressions. I hope you notice plural. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. That is one stage. When he was wounded, what came out? When he was bruised, what came out? But what was the blood to deal with? Transgressions, iniquities. That is individual sins that we have committed because Mr. Flesh was producing it in us. Jesus had to be wounded so that the blood can come out in order to deal with that problem. But if that scripture stopped there, we will have still been in trouble. But you see what the Bible says? Verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has done what? Laid on him what? This time around, was it plural? Read your Bible very well. What did he say? The iniquity, that is Mr. Iniquity, that produces iniquities. Who is that? Self. So see what the Bible says God is. This man is too big, but I don't know how to do it. So the Bible says, it was laid on him. Are you understanding? Don't worry, brother. The iniquity of us all. And so Jesus, who knew no sin, he was loaded with Mr. Flesh, the one from my own life, the one from your own life. Are you understanding that now? So he was loaded. It was a heavy load. He fed that 3 times on the road to Calvary. Where was he carrying him? People cannot understand. What was he carrying? Why was he so like this? The Bible said, he that knew no sin was made sin, that we may become the righteousness of God. So he was going. He said, behold the Lamb of God. That does what? That carried away. So people were escorting Jesus. They were escorting Mr. Flesh to the place of death. So he was going. Sometimes he fell. They said, stand up, you must go. He went on and went on. So what was he going to do? He was going to the cross. God already told him that if you want to help these people at all, you want them to be delivered. The problem is Mr. Flesh. You must carry him out onto the cross. When you get there, you hang him there. When you finish with him, you can come back. So you see Jesus, he painfully, carefully, he was provoked to return. He said, no, I'm going to finish this man today. And he took it. It was heavy. And he went. And right on the cross. Right on the cross. Our old man. Mr. Flesh was crucified with him. And when it was finished, when it made sure that Mr. Flesh is finally on the cross, he said, "It is finished." And he yielded up the ghost. He left. But where is he? Where did he keep him now? That is the mystery of our deliverance. God must help your eyes to open to see that thing as a matter of the beginning. God knows that there's nothing you can do with Mr. Flesh except you hand him over. If any of us were ready to yield ourselves to the Savior, I know what Jesus will do to him. He takes me to the cross, hang him there. So you keep reading in the scriptures. You keep hearing in the word of God, he said, that we know. Romans chapter 6 verse 6 said that we know that our own self was what? Crucified with him. That we henceforth may no longer serve sin. That the body of sin might be rendered impotent and powerless. For he that is dead is free from sin, one and for all. That's the cross. So when we preach about the cross to the man who is going to perish, you say, what does that mean? To those of us who are looking towards the power of God, the life of God, the new life, the resurrection, we know the cross is very central in our deliverance. To be delivered from self is not by struggle. Let me even tell you, it's not by fasting. It's not by much prayer. It's by handing him over. To who? To the elder. And the elder knows what to do. The Bible says, he laid upon him the iniquity of us all. You see, the way the Bible puts it, I don't know, but I grow to light on semantics of the Bible. It didn't say the iniquity of all of us. It said the iniquity of us all. The iniquity of Brother Bile, the iniquity of Brother Dele, the iniquity of this brother, the iniquity of this sister, the iniquity of this woman, all like that. And what did he do to that, our Mr. Iniquity? He took him on the cross. He made him over there, never to come up again. Hallelujah. Yeah. So what is the cross? The cross. Now, brother, you are free. The cross is that place where my master went and hung over my old man. The first thing to do, to deny, to give up, don't defend self again. Don't talk for self again. Bring him out. Hand him over. Those that have not seen self as a dangerous man, they cannot benefit from the ministry of the cross. Did you hear me? It's not a passive thing. You must be willing to be involved before the cross can start ministering to you. Hallelujah. This message is not meant for a man who is enjoying self. The ministry of the cross is not for a man who is not tired of himself. The cross is not for a man who believes in himself. But those that have come to the end of themselves and they have come to discover that there is no other way to be delivered except God has mercy. That's when the cross can come in. To those that are perishing, it is foolish. They say, what is the cross? That's why sometimes people think that when we talk about carrying your cross, people just think that we say it is one sickness. It is one small problem. No. The cross has nothing to do with sickness. Hallelujah. Yeah. The cross has nothing to do with hypertension. But we say, that's my own cross. No. That's not your cross. You know why I know that sickness is not the cross? Sickness cannot conquer self. You see a man that is sick. Somebody who is sick, he is still boasting. Sickness cannot kill self. The cross is not a sickness, though. I thank God. In the night, I'm praying for liberty of utterance. This thing we are talking about, we need to pray for God to allow us to understand the mystery of the cross as far as Christian living is concerned. What we have said so far now is but an initial application of the cross. The cross goes on in its ministry much more than what we have said now. The cross now deals with everything that has any relationship to do with whatever has the semblance of the flesh as a manifestation of the death that came on our old man. In the night, I pray that you will see that to have a functional faith, the cross must release you from self. You cannot believe as long as self is in control. Self is a fearful man. Self normally loves to participate. Self, he cannot move. He will first of all test the ground. If he knows that the ground can hold self, then he will put the second leg. And he's looking left and right. I hope there's no danger. When the cross begins to minister in your life, it will release you from self. Then you can be free to believe. Hallelujah. And in the night, the Lord must help us. We've been praying. Because this thing belongs to the church. God wants us to make heaven. He did everything. He sent Jesus to lay the foundation and the completion of our deliverance. And the message of the cross is the most terrible message that Mr. Flesh hates. He doesn't want it. Because the cross, anywhere flesh wants to shoot off his head, they say you are already dead. You know, you are already condemned. You know, I'm crucified with Jesus Christ. I am crucified with him. The life I live is no more for flesh. I am crucified for Jesus. You want to wear your dress. The idea of Mr. Flesh is coming and saying, no, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. It is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. That's the cross. Don't to stop here. It will have been enough. You know, Jesus is a miracle worker. He healed the sick, he raised the dead, he opened blind eyes. For all those things, never dealt with the flesh. May I inform you? I hope you won't misunderstand me. Miracles don't deal with the flesh. Do you get me? That's why miracles is not a parameter of spirituality. Do you get me? Miracles is a base.
to draw people. It's like you want to fish, you throw bait so that they can come and get hook. That's the purpose. Look at Jesus. He healed them, healed them, healed them, healed them. But when they settle down and they say, "We want to follow you," he now goes ahead and tells them the condition. Jesus doesn't give any condition for people to receive miracle. Miracle is the act of God's mercy to dying humanity. Do you understand me now? But when God wants, when you now say, "I want to follow you home," he says, "Okay, there are conditions. Not all men that have experienced miracles are going to heaven." That's why we can't build church on miracles. That's why it is wrong to dominate our pulpit only with miracle services. It's not correct. And when you get delivered from the flesh, the way we are talking, you will become a miracle yourself every day. Amen. Do you know that it's many years now I went for a miracle rally for myself? Do you know what? Do you know what? There's no problem. What looks miraculous unto those outside is a normal heritage for a believer. You don't get me? Eh? Do you understand what I'm saying? So the glory of God, it's 19 years ago, I tasted Panadol last. The word of God. He brought us to that deliverance. Demons will be flying here, flying there. He said, "Thousands will fall by your left, tens of thousands by your right. It never comes to me." So that is what we will use to dominate our pulpit. I wish the Lord will help us to empty ourselves of self. Then we will have the liberty to eat of the fruit of life. Hallelujah. Amen. Then what you think is the miracles, it will become a normal thing. For me, for example, brother, daily provision of my need is a normal experience. I do not take it for granted, though it is still miraculous, but it's normal. So if somebody is coming here and talking about financial prosperity, I don't need it. You know why I don't need it? You know why I don't need it? The bank of heaven is going with me every time. There may be nothing in this my pocket though, but I'm not poor. That's what I'm saying. The other day I was traveling, and my car had an accident. One tire busted and the back windscreen broke, and all of us in the car, the thing went into the bush. Only God delivered us. There are mighty trees that car went through like this. We did not know how, because when we had to come out, we had to start cutting those trees for the car to come out. People say, "How did you go through?" I don't know, but I know angels. They stood there, they pushed those things up. Say, "Touch not my anointed, do my prophet no harm." Now we came out. The tire busted, you know. The windscreen broke. The meeting I was going to preach, we can't go, so we returned, we are going back. No problem. You know what is going on in my spirit? That my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus.
Finish.
No problem. So I said, brother, please come, let's go back. We'll get this car again. Someone wants to say, but car, things are so costly now. This and everything job with this windscreen and all that. I want to say, what concerns you about that? Are you the one to spend for it? So we are just going quietly. Then another person saw this car, the windscreen was removed. He said, he overtook us and stopped and saw, is that not your car? I said, what happened? Hey, this accident. Oh, he didn't talk. You know what he did? He rushed quickly to his car. Said, please, wait. In fact, oh God, I've been looking for you. I just was wondering where I would see you. I said, what? So he went, brought 5,000 from his wallet and gave it to the driver. The driver, please, quick, go now. Go and buy whatever it is. That is what they are telling you, that you should sow something so that you can get 1,000 fold. This is foolish. This is not correct. When we talk like this, some people, they create an hypothetical situation as if we are suffering. As if when we talk about the cross, about deliverance from self, as if we are putting you in bondage. So the brother went down and I told you I get into the Panavita. When you go to the Panavita, you know what the Panavita said? He said, oh, 2 days ago, I was praying, and somebody came and arrested me like this and said, you've not been praying for Brother Bile. And you have not been praying for that Brother Bile for all this is journey. So when they brought the car to him, he started shivering. He said, God, I'm sorry. You know what he said? He said, go and tell Uncle that we are taking care of the car free of charge. And we are going to walk throughout the night. Only a king's business can be handled that way. It's not my business. Have you ever seen Panebita walking throughout the night to keep the car back in shape? By the following day, you can't see the accident again. The same pastor can say, brother, you can go on your journey. So I took off on the other day for the journey. Governor's work are not done with such a dispatch. Don't think that a man who is working with God can be stranded. Impossible. But when Jesus was emptying himself and did as if he was a servant, he looked as if he lost everything. But the Bible says, for that reason, God highly exalted him and gave him a name as above every name. Friend, the poverty of your life is the tenacious way you are holding to self. The problem of your life is the way you are holding to yourself. Your self-wisdom, your self-ability, your self-grace, and all that. Come to the cross. Hand self over. Self that makes us to fall into sin. Don't explain it away. Don't put it on the devil. The devil likes to accept all those kind of blames so that you will not deal with your enemy. As far as I'm concerned, the greatest thing that the devil can take away from my hand is the cross. Because when you discover the power of the cross, that's when you enter into real life. That's when you sleep very well. That's when nobody can bother your life. Nobody can threaten a dead man. A man that is dead. Do you know why we are worried? This man wants to destroy me himself. Who are you? If truly yourself is dead, so what does he come? Somebody
looked at you and said, you are useless, man. You are useless. I tell you that you are useless, and it's not your father that born you. And so what? Let me ask you now. All that one, what did he do to him?
Nothing.
Nothing. But when self is in control, what will you do? You will jump up and say, me, why can't you talk to me? I take you to court. And so people, they go to court. Lawyers are getting jobs. Because self will not be allowed to go on the cross. What does he do? You come and abuse me, you come and do this, what does he do? How many husbands? They are breaking their neck the way my wife talks to me. She does not know how to respect somebody. Who are you? Who are you? That is Mr. Self. Allow him. Hand him over to the elder. You will find rest. And I tell you, you know, it takes two people to fight. I hope you know. It takes two people to fight. If your husband came back and said, so the food is not ready. What kind of useless thing are you doing in this house? I regret marrying you. But Seth, that will have responded and say, mind you, the way you are speaking to me. Remember that we were classmates. And as you went to school, I went to school. Mind your words. If you want to eat, talk to me politely. Did you ask what happened in the house? Did you ask about your children? An irresponsible man like yourself, you let those with money. Who is talking? Seth Vatos Seth. But you have handed over that self unto the elder. And he took him to the cross. When the man came shouting like that, he said, oh, sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to delay your food. It will soon be ready. Do you know that for that man to shout again, you will have to be psychiatric? I don't know what's worrying you. If you don't hand over self to the elder, I don't know what you can get. Self will spoil your marriage. Self will spoil your business. Self will give you hypertension. Now imagine that the sister now quickly and sad. And says, darling, please don't worry. It won't be late again. And then he eats. And when suddenly, after he finished it, one of the girls that had been sick since morning and was almost dying, he went into the room and saw that baby. So hot. He comes out and says, what happened, my God? That was what happened. That was why your food was delayed. Do you know what that man will feel? He will feel so bad. That why was I so useless? He is the one that will confess his problem, not you. But that he will not hand over self to the master. You keep fighting, quarreling. The Bible says, from where is war among you? From where are your struggles? Is it not the Lord that war where in your member? We must stop here, because if we must come back in the evening, we just have to stop here. Can you do two things today? Lay hold of self. Don't explain him away. Don't sit down there passively and say, put your finger on Mr. Self now and pull him and drag him to the elder. Take him to the place of the elder. Hand him over to Jesus afresh. Then the work he did on the cross of Calvary will begin to dawn on you. Then you will discover that when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, yourself was included. But as you never release him, you never understood the implication of the cross. And it has made you restless and struggling.
Who are the people that will go to hell? They are the people that refuse the work that Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. For years, and I tell you, brother, for years we struggled. We fasted. We went everywhere seeking deliverance. They lay hands on me many times. But laying on hands cannot cast ourselves. Please take note. You must lay hold of self, drag him to the elder, hand him over. Let them take him to the cross of Calvary for you. Not struggles. Please drop all your formulas. Hide behind Jesus. I can't go for those women. Now, please, brother, come again. Let's now finally demonstrate what must have happened. So, when they handed him over, and then he was on the cross, I mean on Jesus. Be going, brother. Who is walking behind them now? The owner of self. He's a free man now. I pray you will know this secret. Walking behind the cross. He said, brother, you don't struggle against it. I know. The man of Calvary, he has done it all. He has done it all. He has done it all. The man of Calvary, oh, he has done it all. Say, brother, why are you not struggling again? He has done it all. Jesus did it all. The man of Calvary, he has done it all. Say, brother, why are you not struggling again? Say, he has done it all. He has done it all. The man of Calvary, oh, he has done it all. Do you understand that? That's how to live the Christian life. The Christian life is not carrying load. The Christian life is depositing that load on Jesus. And you come with a free hand behind him. Jesus did it all. He has done it all. The man of Calvary, he has done it. He has done it for me. Oh. He has done it for me. What my mother cannot do, he has done it for me. He has done it for me, oh. He has done it for me. He has done it for me, oh. He has done it for me. What my father can do, he has done it for me. That's how to be a Christian. Walking behind Jesus. Hiding behind the cross of Calvary as a free man. You don't have liberty until you hide behind the cross. It is at the cross that my load of sin. It is at the cross that my responsibility for life is dropped on Jesus. It is at the cross I become a free man. I pray that it will be clear to you.
Yes.
That Christian life is not struggling. Christian life is walking behind the shadow of the cross as a free man. When somebody come and knock, excuse, what of Mr. Flesh that is here? Oh, he is crucified with Jesus Christ. He is crucified with him. My faith in him cannot. He is crucified with Jesus Christ. Can you come to that point? A point of surrender. And let Jesus handle this problem for us. May God help us. So I ask you to do two things. Brother, go and sit down. Thank you very much. Two things. Lay hold of yourself today. Stop explaining yourself. Bring him. He's dirty. He's very ugly. Bring him.